tonight in Jeremiah 7. We continue this theme of God crying out to His people, begging for them to come back to Him, pointing out the issues with their heart, as we saw last week. Their attitude towards sin was wrong, and if we're not careful, we can allow that same attitude to creep in with the devil's help of not having sin bother us, and that was where Israel was. Tonight, God reminds them that the issue is always obedience. So beginning in verse 21 of chapter 7, where we finished last week, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh, for I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, This is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth the correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth." So obey my voice is our message tonight. Lord, I pray for your presence in this service, that you would use your word in our lives. And Lord, that we would just get a hold of this simple truth, that you want obedience in all of your children. And Lord, may it truly sink in and change us through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word. We give you this service and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we see, God is reminding them that He cannot be, if you will, bought off with sacrifices. And that's what they were trying to do. They were living in disobedience. They were refusing to obey God's commands. And as He says to them in this early part of the passage, it said, "I spake not unto your fathers concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this thing I commanded them, I said, obey my voice." In other words, if you're not going to live in obedience, the sacrifices are an absolute waste of time. And that is true for us as well. We can make all the sacrifices in the world on behalf of the Lord. And there are many ways we can. We can offer the sacrifice of praise. We can sacrifice ourselves, our time, and so forth. But God is saying, that's not what I'm after. What I'm after is obedience. Then give the sacrifices. But Israel was not living in obedience, and yet they were, as He said, trying to say to God, well, here's some sacrifices. And in this case, these would have been literal animals that would have been killed. And God is saying, I'm not accepting them, because you are not in obedience. And as we saw last week, your attitude is not right towards sin. If you go to 1 Samuel 15, very familiar passage, this is where Saul was rebuked by Samuel for what? Disobedience. And it often, when you read it, it almost sounds like it wasn't that big of a deal. He was told to kill everything that breathed, and his disobedience was they saved some alive. Now he tried to make excuses. First he tried to blame the people, then he tried to say, well, it was for God. But Samuel's answer reveals the exact same thing that we're talking about here in Jeremiah. Notice verse 22. Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Same thing. God wants obedience over sacrifice. And that is true for us as well. As God's children, what did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. 1 John 5:3. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And we could go on and on. God's attitude toward His children has never changed. The thing He wants most is obedience. Obedience to His commands. Isn't it fascinating that when Jesus was on earth, the disciples were amazed. They said, even the winds and the sea obey Him. And you know, the animals obey Him. They do what they're taught to do. Even the evil spirits obeyed Him. When He said, get out, they got out. The only aspect of God's creation that disobeys is us, humans. Isn't that something? The ones that were created in His image. This is what God wants more than anything, obedience. Go to 1 Peter 1. We'll see it again. This is the number one way that we can show God that we love Him. It's not in singing a song. It's not in giving a big offering. It's not in anything outside of obedience. That's why Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He went on to say, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You're my friends if you obey. And notice 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at the next. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance. That's a key phrase. As obedient children. This is what God is after, obedience. You know, obedience isn't only a way of showing God that we love Him, but it's also, as God told Israel, a way of showing the world that God's people are different. He said that over and over about Israel. He said, if you'll obey my commands, I want you to be a peculiar people. I want you to be a different people. I want you to show the nations around you what happens when they obey their Creator. Now, of course, they didn't follow that pattern, and instead God had to come in and chastise them and kick them out of the land for what? Disobedience. But it always comes down to obedience. And God, if you go back to our passage, God always promises that if we will live our life a life of obedience, He'll bless us. Such a basic principle of Scripture. Notice verse 23, at the end of the verse, that it may be well unto you. He's saying to Israel, it's really this simple. Obey my voice, and I will bless you. He says the same to us. Obey my voice, and I will bless you. And this is Old Testament, New Testament. We looked last week in Deuteronomy 28, where God told them, right before Moses died, He says, if you will obey, all these blessings will I pour out upon you. We get to the New Testament. What does this say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God's blessings. He wants to bless us, but His blessings, because He's a good, loving Father, are very contingent upon where we stand in our obedience. And that was true with Israel. So, what happens? Back to our passage, verse 24. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear. He went on to say in verse 25, since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. God continues to try to speak to His children through His word, through His preachers, through His pastors, through the Holy Spirit applying the word as we read it and as we study it. And He says, but they hearkened not. That's disobedience. If our attitude toward the word is, I don't want to obey in this particular area, we're just hindering the blessings, we're hindering the prayers. The Bible says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Proverbs 28:9. Again, God says that our prayer life is even contingent upon our obedience. And then in Isaiah 63, turn back there, verse 10. Look what God says about Israel in their when they were in this state of disobedience. Isaiah 63:10, it says, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. And this is one of the devil's tricks, by the way, to convince Christians that it's okay if you obey in everything but one thing. And it's not. And you meet Christians all the time that have this attitude. And you know they have this attitude because maybe they're a gossip, or maybe they have trouble being honest, or maybe they intentionally lie on their taxes because they need the money, the food on the table, or we could go on and on. But they say, I live an obedient Christian life. I'm obeying God the best I can, but I think God's okay with this one little area of disobedience. And He isn't. And it's never okay to disobey. And often we as Christians need to just stop and ask the Holy Spirit. Like it says in James chapter 1, it's like a mirror, beholding His natural face in the glass. What do we do? Do we remember what we saw or walk away and forget? The Bible reflects back to us. And if we'll ask, the Holy Spirit will show us very clearly, yep, you need to obey in this area. Stop thinking it's okay to just disobey in that one little thing. I mean, look at David, a man after God's own heart. Right? The man that God chose. He says, I'm going to give you a throne forever. That man just said, well, I'm just going to hide this one thing. Now, it was a pretty big thing. Adultery and murder. But he said, I've got away with it. I'm going to keep it a secret. God had to send Nathan to say, it's not a secret. God knows about it. And thou art the man. And we get the beautiful Psalm 51 as a result. But, you know, we might be serving with all of our might. We might be faithful to church. But if we're involved in, say, bitterness, maybe we refuse to forgive somebody for something, we're hindering the blessings. We're hindering the prayers. We can be serving, offering up all these sacrifices. And God is saying, obey my voice. Forgive. And that's just one example. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's your temper. Again, maybe it's gossip. I don't know. The Holy Spirit knows, but obey. That's always the issue. Obey my voice. Because if we choose to live in disobedience, look what will happen in our passage here. Firstly, in verse 24, it says they hearken not. If we have this attitude where that particular area of disobedience is okay, it means we're not listening to the Word. And that is a very dangerous place to be. It always leads in the wrong direction. Notice it says, but they walked in the counsels and the imaginations of their evil heart. We're either following God's Word or we're following our way. And the Bible says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In Proverbs 16:25. But if we're in disobedience, we're not following God's way. And it might be one thing out of 100, but it's still disobedience. It means we are, as it says here, we're not hearkening to the Word when the Holy Spirit points it out, and we're following in the counsels and the imaginations of our heart what we think is right rather than what God thinks is right. And look at the end there, verse 24, and went backward and not forward. I believe that every Christian at any given point in their Christian life is doing one or the other, that there's no such thing as neutral. You know, when you're changing gears in an automatic, there isn't a neutral for the Christian. It's either forward or backward. It's one or the other. That's what God says. They went backward and not forward. Remember what He said in chapter 2? Go over and look at verse 19 of chapter 2. Talking about their backslidings. Look what He said. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts. So if we won't obey, what happens? We aren't listening to the Word of God. We're going to follow our way instead of God's way. And ultimately, we are going backward. And you think the devil doesn't know this? He knows. He knows that if he can get a Christian not listening to the Word and going backward and not forward, he has won a small little victory. Because that Christian loses their effectiveness for God, which is exactly what the devil wants. He can't take away our salvation, which he would love to do if he could. So instead, he tries to take away our effectiveness through disobedience. And ultimately, we backslide. So as it says there in verse 26, they hearken not, but what? They hardened their neck. Ultimately, our issue is rebellion, right? If we're in disobedience, that another word for that would be rebellion. When we were raising our kids, or as we are raising our kids, if our kids aren't obeying, they're what? They're rebellious. They're rebelling in a particular area. God says they hardened their neck. That's rebellion. The Bible says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy," in Proverbs 29:1. Hardening our neck is a very dangerous thing. But that is going to be one of the outcomes of not obeying in every area in our Christian lives. Not listening to the Word, following the counsels and imaginations of our own heart, going backward and not forward, hardening the neck, rebellion, and then look at verse 28. "But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction." We don't want to get this far. And Israel had gotten this far, as we've seen in these past seven chapters, or six chapters, to where they weren't even listening to the chastisement. They weren't receiving the correction. They were already, the Israel had already been taken out of the land. Now Judah's about to be taken out of the land by Nebuchadnezzar. They're not listening to the correction. How sad. But you know, the Bible says, "Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord," in Hebrews 12:5. If we get to the point where we can't receive correction, we're at a bad point. Say, well, does that mean I'm going to hell? No, but it means that God's going to pull out a bigger stick. And we don't want that. So, look what happens when we allow that little bit of rebellion. Hearken not, counsel's imagination of their own heart, backward not forward, rebellion, and don't receive correction. And the final end result, verse 28, truth is perished. It always seems to come back around to the Word of God, doesn't it? But that's what we're disobeying ultimately, is the Word of God. And what it means is, when we are in that attitude, of that state of disobedience, the Word is perished. Now, what that means is, we're not hearing it anymore. It's not moving us anymore. You know, if you go to John 17, Jesus explained it another way, but he said it beautifully. He said that the best way to understand the Word of God is to live in obedience. Isn't that interesting? Others would say, "Oh no, no! You got to study. You got to get deeper. You got to get deeper. You got to get deeper into the Word." No, God says, obey. Look at John 7:17. "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." People often say, "Well, if God will show me first, then I'll obey." God says, "No, obey first, and then I'll show you." It's always the opposite of the way we think it should be as man. The key word in that verse is the word, the smallest one, the word "do." If any man will do what? His will. If any man will live in obedience to my known commandments, what am I going to do? I'm going to reveal to you my doctrine. I'm going to reveal to you more truth. And people often say, "Well, first God needs to reveal it to me, and then I'll do it." And it doesn't work that way. Obedience is always first. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing." And what's the first thing? To go. And then God will give the weeping. People say, "Well, as soon as God gives me the burden, then I'll go." God says, "No, you go and I'll give you the burden." The obedience always comes first. And that's what he's saying here. If you will do his will, then you'll know the doctrine. And then one more, Jeremiah 8:9, which we're going to get to next week. This last result of living in disobedience in any area is that the truth is perished. And look what happened to Israel, Jeremiah 8:9. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken low. They have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? That's a very sad commentary on Israel. It's not long after these prophecies were given that Nebuchadnezzar came in and took Judah, razed Jerusalem to the ground. Jeremiah, as I said, is the prophet that bridged that event. His first prophecies were prior to the captivity, and then his last prophecies were after the captivity of Nebuchadnezzar. He kept saying, this is what's coming. There's somebody coming from the north. And he got more specific, said it's going to be Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. He is going to come in. He's going to take you if you don't obey, if you don't repent. And Israel wouldn't listen. And then God sent Nebuchadnezzar. And we know the rest of the story. And now it's been pushing, 2,500 years or more that they have been essentially ejected from their land. Imagine that. That's a long time. And it all came back to this, ultimately, an attitude of disobedience. So as he said in verse 23, obey my voice. Is there an area in our lives where the Holy Spirit keeps saying, yeah, you're doing this and this and this, and you're going to church and you're tithing and you're maybe even witnessing and you're maybe reading your Bible, but you won't obey me in this? And if he keeps pointing it out, we need to listen and respond and get it right, or we're going to head down this path of not hearing the word anymore, of our neck getting hard, of backsliding, and ultimately not receiving the correction, and ultimately the word isn't working in our lives anymore. We don't want that. So, three simple words tonight. Obey my voice. If we'll just obey. If we'll just live a life of obedience. And you know, the Holy Spirit lives in us. He is God. He knows everything. There's no surprises with Him. And if we will just be honest with Him and say, Lord, show me. As David said, show me if there's any wicked way in me. If there's any wicked thoughts. In Psalm 139, reveal them to me. And if we'll ask the Holy Spirit that question, do you think He has the power and the ability to answer? Of course He does. Through His word. He will. He said, reveal any wicked way in me, David said. Ask the Holy Spirit that question. He'll point it out. And then we have the beautiful opportunity with His help to be more like Jesus and fix that area, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. It always comes down to obedience. If you love me, keep my commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. So be careful. Don't let the devil trick us. Because he does. We've all been there. Maybe some are there now. Obey my voice.